Amen. Appreciate that. A bunch of our teenagers were at camp this week, and they were encouraged. Thank you for praying for them. Hebrews chapter 11. Love to hear our youth choir. It touches my heart when a bunch of young people are just saying, I'm a follow after Christ. And that's a great song, encouragement. Hebrews chapter 11. Glad you're here tonight. Hope service is a blessing and encouragement to you. I'm excited about the Ecuador trip. That first meeting will be the 23rd. It kind of got lost in my mind of what today was. And so 2 weeks from today, that'll be the 23rd after the morning service. If you're interested in going to Ecuador on a missions trip. Now, we'll certainly see neat things, but the purpose of the trip is missions. And I'll give you more details about that. And we'll see who's interested, and we'll start putting teams together and things of that sort. But we're about a year out, and it's not too early to start planning for those. If you have any questions, please see me. I'll do my best to answer them. Some questions will generate other questions, and we'll do our best to, again, get those answered for you. Hebrews chapter number 11, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." What an interesting phrasing, evidence of things not seen. Evidence is tangible. Evidence is seen things, and that's what our faith is. It is proof of things to come. "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." Isn't that great? How did this all get here? God just said to stay there. Why is Mars so far away? Why is Third of July? There we are, sitting up on the hill over in Sweden, getting ready to watch the fireworks. And there's a blip way out there, and you're like, "What is that? Is that Mars?" Nope, it was Venus. Why is Venus right there? Because God said, "You stay right there until I tell you you're moving." But so be it. Pretty powerful thing. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen not made of things which do appear." So I'm going to need some evidences of faith. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Didn't make any sense, did it? Why, I brought the best of my first fruits, and he brought the best of his first fruits. Why do you like his and not mine? Because God said, "This is what I want. I want a sacrifice. I want an animal sacrifice." "By which he obtained witness that he was righteous." God testifying of his gifts, "and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Just proved what was right. "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found." Just gone. God just took him. Because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. "Hey, what is known of you?" That he pleased God. Verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Say, "I want that testimony. I want my life to please the Lord." Well, you're going to need something. You're going to need faith. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for, Lord, teaching us about faith here in this passage. How important it is, and God, how we are to live by faith. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we are encouraged to walk by faith in our life. Thank you for these young people that were encouraged in their faith this week. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Help them to take steps of faith. May they be an encouragement to us. God, we look forward to what you have for us here tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Next Sunday night, we'll have some testimonies from our teenagers. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. All that being said, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." It's tough to go somewhere being led by something which is described as without sight. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I'll tell you how I walk. By sight. I say, what does that mean? Well, I evaluate things. I look at things. If I want to step here, I try and calculate, judge how big my foot is, how big the step is. And you know, kind of our brain tells us, like, it's amazing how much happens in our mind. Like, my heart's pumping right now. I'm not even telling it to do it. I mean, it's just amazing how our body all works. But we walk by faith. Well, we should be walking by faith. But how do we actually walk? Well, we walk by sight. What's easier? To walk by faith or walk by sight? Well, it certainly is easier to walk by sight because I can make judgments based on what I see. Faith is believing in things I have not seen. So when I go to Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 11, and it tells me to walk by things not seen, walk by just trusting the Lord, I know that's simple in its context, it's simplistic, but that is pretty, that's pretty involved. To trust the Lord, God, you're going to lead, you're going to guide. I don't know actually where I'm going. Now, I don't recommend tonight say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put this Hebrews chapter 11 and 2 Corinthians 5:7 to the test tonight. Dad is going to drive home with his eyes closed. I don't think that's necessarily a good idea. I don't think driving by feel is a good idea. I mean, you can certainly ride the guardrail, but you're going to have to see the mechanic tomorrow. Or the doctor,
or both.
So what is this talking about here? Is this that I'm actually to close my eyes and turn a blind eye towards things and just go? No, but there is a trust in the Lord in our decisions. And God says this, without faith, without trusting me as you make decisions, you can't please me, he says. There are things that God, listen, young person, there are going to be things that God asks of you that sometimes just don't make sense. But you know that God is leading in a direction. Well, what's easier now? Is it easier to walk by faith or walk by sight? I'll tell you, when you start walking by faith, you'll not want to live by sight anymore. Say, why is that? Because, listen, God knows so much better than what we know. He knows our past, but he knows our future. He knows what's ahead. I was saying this in our Sunday school class this morning. We concluded our adult Sunday school class on the Sermon on the Mount this morning, and simply put, when I started studying that, I didn't realize what was coming in life. And those passages were a real help to me. How was that? Why was that? I don't know. I just felt led of the Lord, and Lord just used that and ministered to my heart. Why? Because God knows what's down the road. What can I see? Well, you know, back in high school, they asked us this question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? One kid. Jail. I don't know if he lived up to the hype or not, but no. Hey, it's tough to foresee that. I have a hard time planning tomorrow. So are you living by faith? Or do you make all judgments based on, well, how does this look on paper? How does this look? Or, God, what are you telling me to do? Because it says, without faith, you cannot please him. Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus 32. A simple message tonight, but I pray it'll be an encouragement to you. To walk by faith. In Exodus 32, Moses goes up on the mountain to get the tables. In verse 16 it says, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. We would call that the Ten Commandments. And there he receives those things. The law of God he receives. Well, while he's gone, the nation of Israel, under the leadership of Aaron, is struggling. They're not quite sure what to do. Moses has been gone for a while. They've not been this far, this long without Moses. What do we do with this? How do we handle this? And unfortunately, instead of trusting the Lord and waiting patiently upon God, they took matters into their own hands. And in verse 23, it says this, and verse 22, and Aaron said, "Let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods." Hey, Moses is gone. We need something to worship. Aaron, come on, put something together, would you? "What shall go before us? For as for this Moses..." This Moses, sounds like he's expendable. "The man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." Hey, it's been a long time. He went up there. We don't know what to do. We need something to worship. Aaron, what can you make for us? Well, Aaron, being the high priest here, said, "No, I will not do that. That is against God's..." No, that's not exactly what he said. He said, "All right, let's see what we can make. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. And so they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and look at the innocence of Aaron. And there came out this calf," as we are familiar with, the golden calf. And there they were worshiping this golden calf. So how'd they make it? Well, they made it with the lack of faith and impatience. They got themselves, hey, they were waiting on the Lord, but that just took too long, so they took matters into their own hands. The people couldn't wait anymore, and the majority decided, hey, you know what? We're done waiting for this guy. What's his name again? Oh, yeah, Moses. Let's do our own thing. Moses was their connection to the Lord. Hey, have you ever done that? God said to be patient and wait, and you just got ahead of things and manufactured your own golden calf, if you will. Well, that's what the majority wanted. That's what everybody else wanted. Aaron says, "I don't know. They asked me to make this thing. They came and said, please, we need a God. And, you know, I was in charge, and I didn't know what to do. So I said, give me the gold." And then we made this, and we just put it in the fire. It was amazing. It was like divine. This calf just came right out. Don't we kind of do that? Hey, things aren't going to, the majority says. Hey, if you start listening to the majority, you're going to find yourself in a world of trouble. Because broad is the way. And there's a narrow gate over here. The Bible says there are few that be there find it. Hey, you just stay on the Lord's side. That's what Moses says. He asked this question, and then Moses stood up. There was more to it. They're dancing and singing. They're naked in front of these things. Verse 26, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gather themselves together unto him." Hey, this isn't what God's about. Isn't it gracious that the Lord would give him an opportunity to fix this? Hey, you blew it here. Hey, let's fix this. Let's get back to where we should be. You started listening to the majority. Hey, in your own Christianity, have you ever listened to the world a little bit? Where did that lead you? I'll tell you where it led you. It led you further away from God. You started evaluating life. You started making decisions based on what the world says is profitable or successful or what is good. And you start making decisions based on that. All of a sudden, you find yourself worshiping a golden calf. I understand you don't have a golden calf, but you understand what I'm saying. It takes you away from God. Well, everybody, it doesn't matter what everybody says. What does God say? So how'd this go? Well, when the children of Levi did according to the word of the Lord, to the word of Moses in verse 28, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. 3,000 people died because of some foolishness, because of listening to the majority. What do you do when you don't get the answer you want? Hey, where's Moses? Hey, where's the Lord in all this? Well, you need to be patient a little bit. I'm doing something. This is taking too long. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to get a golden calf. I want to go see what the world has to offer. Have you begun to follow the majority? Does the majority rule your life and determine how you act? Hey, what's the latest trend? What's the latest, I don't know. I don't even know what they call it anymore. Hashtag or what, I don't know. And it just sounds dumb when I say things like that, so I'm going to stop. But what's the latest? What's the latest fashion? Or what's the latest challenge? Or what's the latest? Oh, yeah, and you bring things up, and oh, Dad, that was like so like last week. Are you keeping up with the majority? Or are you seeking the Lord for faith and wisdom and guidance? Hey, one of the hardest commands that God will give you is wait. That takes a lot of faith. Because you're believing in something you can't see. Hey, what will be the casualties of you walking by your own sight? That's what Israel did. They said, we're tired of waiting for Moses. You're just taking too long, Lord. We're going to take matters into our own hands. And there were casualties. What happens when we take our... Say, God, you're just taking too long. I'm going to accelerate this process. You're not bringing that right one by. I'm just going to take the next one that comes by. Oh, you'll be sorry. No, you wait on the Lord. You trust the Lord. You walk by faith, not by sight. Hey, God's principles are true. God's principles are timeless. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Number one, let us remember that the majority does not rule in faith. In Matthew chapter 15. Starting in verse 1. Matthew 15, starting in verse 1. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees. When I read that, I always just kind of sit back and go, okay, here we go. Someone's going to antagonize the Lord. Someone's going to challenge the Lord, and the Lord is just going to make them small in a quick second. I kind of enjoy these passages. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees. The only problem is that when I'm honest in these passages, I'm usually like the scribes and Pharisees. Isn't that so true, Brother Sutliff? I don't know. And that's how it is for me. Or the doubting disciples or something like that. Why didn't we do this? Or what, you know? Oh, ye of little faith. I find myself on those questions. All right, sorry. Matthew chapter number 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Mrs. Buck, do you read that? I know, it's tough, isn't it? She's over there slapping hands, sending the disciples to the bathroom. Go wash up, sanitizing them. And he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. It's like he was with them the whole time. He knows what they're thinking. He knows what they teach and say. Say, that's not fair. That's not fair. It is fair. He knows it all. Look at this next word. Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, man, you don't want to poke the Lord. Judge not, because you're judging or you're bringing into question somebody and you're bringing it to the actual judge. And he says, okay, yes, we can talk about that, but I have a question for you. Let's examine you first. Isaiah prophesying of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He's like, oh yeah, Isaiah, I remember. I read about you back in Isaiah. He said that there was a group of people that would say, but their heart was far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? After they heard the saying, do you know that bothered them? yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm just calling it out. Verse 14, look what he says. He says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. We're told to walk by faith. In our first thought here tonight, we were reminded that in faith, majority does not rule. And be careful that we are not following the blind. The question is, who are you listening to? Are you listening to unwise counsel? There are great tools online that can help us. One of which is, save you hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars every single year. Little website, not sure if you've heard of it, YouTube. Say, how does that save me so much money? Well, when your washer throws out that error code, and you just go on YouTube and say, but what's going on with this? And they say, oh, it's just a $3 sensor. You don't have to call the repairman out. Just order it on Amazon, and it'll be here in 6 minutes, and free shipping. I don't know how they do that, but we'll get it to you, and you just unscrew this thing, two little bolts, put it back in, and good as new. It's like, whoa, I didn't have to call the guy out, didn't have to charge me $150, all of that kind of stuff. I say, why are you bringing that up? Because it is a helpful tool, but it's also a gateway to a truckload of foolishness. There are teachers, and there are preachers, and there are counselors that counsel contrary to the Word of God. And they are blind according to the Scriptures, and what they're doing is leading the blind. And they're leading people away from what God says. And they're using worldly counsel. Hey, the best thing to do is to find yourself a good local church that teaches and preaches the Word of God. I'm telling you, the best counsel you'll get is coming and just sitting here. And now I understand we all have maybe circumstances and you need special things and maybe we can sit down or whatever. But good counsel comes from just the preaching of the Word of God. It's amazing how, when teaching the full counsel of God, how much gets covered if we're listening. It would be foolish to go to the world for counsel. Why? Because they can't see. They have no faith. How do you expect someone that is blind to lead you? You can't. It's like the blind leading the blind. What happens? The Bible says, both shall fall into the ditch. best thing to do is find someone that's walking by faith. Go to Psalm 119. Find someone that's walking by faith. Seek counsel from them and ask them, say, what saith the Lord? Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God has a way of leading us and guiding us unlike anything else. Thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of psychology books contrary to the word of God have been written. Again, as we said this morning, teaching a humanistic philosophy that is contrary to true love. And you know, that they're giving counsel on marriage, but not even understanding love. Hey, unless he's doing this, otherwise you got to throw him to the curb. Oh, that's not what the Bible says. You're manufacturing these problems, and what do? We go to the word of God. Hey, I understand that that's not popular. I read something the other day, it might have been yesterday, that there's a church that's struggling with the Lord's Prayer. The opening of it says, Our Father, and so many people have a problem with the view of Father, so they're thinking about changing Our Father, which art in heaven, to something else because it's offensive. It's like unbelievable where we're at. I don't know. I can't even. How about we just get back to the Word of God and just let God sort all this stuff out? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If this is the book that's going to lead and guide in all my decisions, I better know it. I better be in it. I better learn it. I better memorize it. I better search it. I better meditate upon it. I better study it. I better listen to it. I better do it. Hey, if Sunday morning you're searching high and low, hey, where did I leave my Bible from last week? You're not listening to the right thing. You're listening to something, but you're listening to something that's blind. And it's going to lead you but nothing but astray. I'm trying to encourage you here tonight to walk by faith. By faith. Reminding us that the majority does not rule. That we need to be careful of the counsel that we take. The Lord warns us and says, be careful. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Lastly, 1 Kings chapter number 19. As you turn to 1 Kings 19, thank you for praying. Our first group of people got to camp. Is that right, Mr. McDowell? That's a blessing. Thank you for praying for them. And they're there getting, they're getting ready for you guys. They're getting the snow machines out. No, spanking machines. For junior camp, they have spanking machines, right? Especially for the junior counselors. Isaiah doesn't know whether to laugh or cry. He's torn. 1 Kings 19, hopefully you've gotten there by now. The prophet Elijah, Jay, just a little while ago, did a great lesson on this whole thing and what led up to it. I just want to recap. But Elijah just called down fire from heaven and devoured the prophets of Baal. Pretty high point in life. I mean, now he's on the run from Jezebel and he's hiding under the juniper tree. Isn't that real life? Sunday victory, Monday depression. I don't know. I don't know. Where's it, Marianne? Marianne, are you awake? Where are you? There you are. Okay. Marianne, what a blessing this morning, right? You want to share what happened? Praise the Lord. That's so great. First person you've ever led to the Lord. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Man, that's a high point. Be careful tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm just saying, that was the calling down fire from heaven. You might want to stay away from Chase tomorrow or something like that. I don't know. But that's Elijah. Day before, he's there. And now, a short time after, he travels. And he's on the run from Jezebel. He's hiding. Lord leads Elijah onto Mount Horeb. And there he is up on the mountain. The Bible says in verse 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. We're in 1 Kings 19 and verse 8. Unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Maybe some of that is true. Maybe some of that is just discouragement. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. I want you to pay attention to verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, a still small voice. How am I supposed to walk by faith? Well, the Lord speaks sometimes with a still small voice. The problem with that is that we got this world turned up so loud that sometimes it's hard to hear that still small voice. My experience has been with the Lord, God is a very gentle shepherd. There are times when he gets loud, but the majority of him speaking to my heart is when I am settled, calm, and listening for him. That's how he speaks to us. Say, I need signs. I need earthquakes, wind, and fire. And it says, yeah, I'm not in that. I just talk to you like this. And when we have so many distractions turned up, Megan was telling Sarah and I about you went camping this weekend, and it was nice. No cell coverage up there or over there, down there. I don't know where you were. And she said, you didn't realize how busy you are and how caught up in things you are until you're forced to just be still. All of a sudden, maybe you can turn down the TV a little bit. Turn down the radio a little bit. Turn down the kids a little bit. Turn down work a little bit. Turn down distractions a little bit. Turn down those things. And it's amazing when you turn all that down, all of a sudden a signal starts coming through. I'm a baseball fan. I really like baseball on the radio. I like to listen to it. And my team is the Cleveland Guardians, and they're not good. They're about 500. That means they win as many games as they lose, and which in their division has got them about a game out of first place, which is amazing. But there is out of Cleveland on a summer night after 9 o'clock. It's kind of like Wham 1180. They boost their signal. And I can listen to 1100 a.m. and I can get the baseball games. But you, all of a sudden, you're turning it and that signal gets boosted, and all of a sudden that signal comes through. And it's kind of like the Lord. All of a sudden, you tune in just right. And you make everything else quiet. And you can hear the voice of God. It's not that he's not talking. It's just that we have so much turned up so loud that sometimes it's really difficult to hear. Say, I want to walk by faith. Well, understand this. Majority doesn't rule. Number two, be careful that you're not following false counsel. But number three, turn everything down. Get a hold of the voice. Tune your heart to be able to hear the Lord. That still, small voice. We would do well to be silent with the Lord once in a while. It's amazing how much God has to say to us if we just simply listen. We might have too much stuff going on. We get so caught up with our own way that we have tuned the calling of the Lord right out. In John chapter 10, he says that he is the shepherd and his sheep can hear his voice. Hey, I wouldn't take one step if you don't know that the Lord is leading you. Say, why not? Because your sight is the wrong sight. You need to walk by faith. It is the only way to please God. And to do that, you have got to be reliant on the leading and guiding of God Himself. Well, this is just what looks best. No. Well, this is what the world... No. What does God say? I love this verse in 1 Peter chapter number 2. This is our last verse. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, 1 Peter 2. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Remember when we read in Matthew 15, the blind leading the blind? That is not the case with Christ. Christ invites us and says, here's what you should do. You should follow my steps. That ye should follow his steps. Are you following in the steps of the Lord? Are you following God? Are you walking by faith? Well, the majority, it doesn't matter what the majority says. The majority said, give us a golden calf. Well, my buddy said, don't listen to the blind. He doesn't know the Lord. If their counsel isn't in the book, it's bad counsel. Hey, find someone that walks by faith. Ask a question. Sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And then thirdly, turn everything down. Turn off the TV, turn off the monitors. I don't know. It's been a long time since we've had like network TV at our house. But we have a monitor and, you know, streaming services now. I think that's what most people do. I don't know what everyone does. Turn that off. Kids, young people, adults alike, constantly having ear things in and listening and constantly. Are you listening to the Lord, though? Can you hear the voice of God in your life? I wouldn't take one step without knowing that God is guiding your steps. Let's all stand. Are you walking by faith tonight? Say, is that really necessary? It's impossible to please Him if you do not. In a moment, Mrs. Huber is going to come and we'll have a time of invitation. Sure, maybe you've listened to the majority and sought out the world for its counsels, and maybe you're in the wrong place. Maybe you're doing things you ought not to do, and maybe you're taking ungodly counsel, but I would say the majority of us here tonight just have life turned up so loud. Maybe tonight you just want to come to the altar and just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm listening. And just be still for a little bit. Just listen for the Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray you'd work in our midst. Our desire is to please you. And we know the only way that we can do that is by faith. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just be still and know that you are God. Lord, bless the time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?